All right, back again, another week, another conversation coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. This is Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones. Sometimes it's just Taylor Jones talks by himself in Nashville. That's what it can be sometimes. That's kind of what it is today. We had, well, not really. I got my beloved producer, Mr. Ian Stewart, in the building with me again today. And this is going to be one of those times where we kick it around because the guest fell through. So
it's all right. It happens.
It happens, man. It's kind of like, you know, other things that happen. They just happen, you know. But what happened was today, I forgot to remember that I was taking my grandmother's neighbor to the doctor this morning. And just forgot, people. You know what I'm saying? I forgot. And so I had to back the time up. And then I had to back it up again. And then I couldn't make it happen. So God bless them. We'll have, I promise you, we haven't forgot about how to get guests, but, you know, holiday season is tough. People got stuff going on, but, I know for sure we're going to have a guest next week. So not going to tell you who it is though, but maybe I will at the end of the show. We'll talk about it. We'll think about it. If I feel like Tony did the show, I'll tell you, but, lots of guests coming up as you know, that's what our bread and butter is here. But today, you know, here's the thing. We're kind of going through a season of change and growth here with the podcast and trying to learn how to be a little more responsible and a little more professional with the podcast. As much as it may, you know, seem hard to think about, but I am trying to be a professional here. And it's a lot easier when you have somebody holding you accountable. So thank you, Ian.
You're welcome.
Ian told me that I have to come up with a show by Wednesday.
Every week.
Every week, or else it's gonna be us doing this again. So that's the goal. We're trying to have our shows done by Wednesday so they can come out every Friday on your you know, your gimmick device, whatever you do to listen to podcasts on. I use my phone. Other people may use their computer or what have you, but so we're hoping to brighten up your Friday every Friday with something to listen to here, but that's what we're gonna work on. So you'll have something this Friday. If you're listening to this right now, it's probably Friday. So happy Friday to you. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Are we just now coming back off Thanksgiving?
Yes, we are.
Well, how was your Thanksgiving?
Mine was great. Had a great one with my dad, and then had Thanksgiving with my neighbors as well.
Well, we did the same. We had two Thanksgivings back to back at the same place, but two different crowds of people. Oh. So I was thankful. My mother-in-law, she can really cook. And, man, it was some of the best food I ever ate. First shoot. Really good. 2 days in a row of it. I said, man, we can make a habit of this. We can eat this every night.
I can attest to that. I've had that cooking.
Yeah, man. So, we done good on that. And, what else do we have going on? I drove up there. I finally bought me a little truck. So, we're working on... Oh, me and Ian, we got... That's what today's episode is going to be, all funny car stories.
Right.
So just in case you were wondering, we're going to try to theme it up a little bit so we're not just kind of going over the same old all the time. But trust me, we have together about 20 years of funny funny stories of many genre, to the point that we can have different days to talk about different specific ones.
Right.
So today we added into that list because me and Ian went to the junkyard together to look for some stuff, which if you haven't ever been to the pull apart or the junkyard to try to rip something off of an old beat up car and stick it on your car, it comes highly recommended. It's a lot of fun. If you got some anger or you got some frustration or some testosterone or whatever, go out to the parts or to the pull apart, bring you a crowbar and just start ripping stuff off of cars. And by the time you tucker yourself out from that and you inhale enough, you know, fumes of car oil and gas or whatever it is that's laying around there. We saw them taking one car up and stealing the gas out of it.
They're just dumping it in a bucket.
Yeah, they keep it. If you should bring a car to the junk car and it's got gas in it, they're going to keep it. I said, well, good on you. They sell everything over there. If you come in there and you forget tools at home, they got tools for you to buy. Like a wrench is $2 or something, like one wrench. Right. So if you don't, you better bring your tools. If you're going to the pull apart, you better bring your tools. But today's mission was I needed a passenger's door mirror today because my little truck had no mirror glass in it. It had the mirror body, but no mirror glass. And also, I didn't have a glove box, which if you want to see something ghetto, just take the glove box out your car and just drive around that way. It really looks funny. So I wasn't necessarily all that mad at that, but if we did run up on a glove box, we were going to grab it. And so that's what happened. We rolled through, and first mirror we got, we thought was right, and it wasn't right. And we made the cardinal mistake of not testing it out before we left. And mm-hmm. we thought, because I just live right around the corner from the pull apart, and another convenience of where we live. Thank you. Glad to be here. And so had to turn back around because we thought we had a failed mission, you know, like seriously failed mission. And so we whipped it back around, and the guy was cool. He let us exchange the thing and go back in there and try again. And we found a glass. And somehow, by miracle of Jesus, we found it off some other Ford truck that we had stole. The same one we stole. It was the same one, I believe, we stole the glove box off of.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it was an old Explorer about the same year as I got a little Ranger, 4x4. But anyway, the Explorer and the Ranger is really kin folks. So if you can get the year close, you're doing all right. So Ian took the crowbar to it, and just we were like, well, let's just see if we can't just pry the glass up off of it.
You called it practice.
Yeah, let's practice, because we were going to try to rip the glass out of the one that we had, because the body wasn't right, but the glass is right.
Right.
But we didn't want to do it, because we weren't, when that was the only one we had, we were too chicken to mm-hmm. do it. So we said, well, just practice on this one here, and you know, because there's only, you know, 1,000 cars here to practice
right.
on. And so he ripped that thing out of there. I couldn't believe it. It came out intact. It even hit the ground and didn't break. And
mm-hmm.
then we go outside, and we already got the glove box. We had that victory going for us. And so we have the glove box, whatever, fixed, and then go to the go back outside. This time we didn't leave. We put it on there. And, man, you should have seen us celebrating when we popped that thing on. I couldn't believe it. It's hard to do to pop that thing on, wasn't it?
It absolutely was.
Yeah, but by some miracle, it didn't break. Mm-hmm. And now I'm riding around with two mirrors and a glove box. The only thing left is a cracked windshield.
True.
I think that's the only cosmetic problem I have now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
You got a little thing on the bumper.
The bumper.
Or the...
the fender. I'm not going to worry about that.
But yeah, other than that...
That's just there to keep me humble. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah, you can't have a perfect, because then you might get a little too cocky.
Yeah.
So that every time I see that, it'll keep me humble.
Other than that, it's looking really good for a 26-year-old car.
21. Yeah. So 95 model.
Right.
So then let's see, what else did we do? But that's really it on that. Got the cracked windshield, and we'll fix that one of these days, but I ain't worried about that. You know, going from there. Hey, it's a project, but it's working. It drives like a top. Drove it 7 hours coming back. Just had a couple little deals to do like that. So anyway, congratulations. Got a real deal on it up there in Belfry. So hopefully it runs for a little while and I get my money's worth, because I didn't pay a whole lot for it. But I'm glad to have something. But that's that. But, you know, we got to think of some more car stories. So what was your first car?
My car was a Nissan Sentra. Saved up. First summer I got a job out of high school.
What was the job?
Security guard at the Ryman Auditorium.
Really?
Yep.
So what were you driving in high school? Did you drive anything in high school?
No, I pretty much just bummed rides off of you.
Yes, it is.
In fact, I believe even into some of college.
Yeah, we did. We drove, but you could drive a stick though, right?
Yeah, I could.
So I would be fine to give you a ride as long as you would drive.
Exactly.
Like, that's always my deal. I just don't want to friggin' drive. Now I drive for a living, which is ridiculous, but... I drive for a living quite a bit. Not all. And that's not the only thing I do, but whatever. I do it a lot. It's the majority of what I'm doing right now. But so, yeah, we had this old... My first car was a Ford Explorer Sport two-door
mm-hmm.
with a standard shift in it. And the little gimmick thing off the top of the standard shift would come off. And I'd just hand it to somebody as a joke. But, yeah, so Ian, we would... Ian didn't ever go get himself a car. I was lucky. My dad gave me that. So... it was still his, but he let me borrow it, let's say. And he went ahead and bought himself a new used truck mm-hmm. right before I turned 16, just for that purpose. So anyway, it was a 97. It probably had 135,000 on it whenever I got to driving it. And it had its little quirks, buddy, because dad had ripped the dang clutch out a couple times.
Right.
You know what I mean? In a fit of anger, he'd throw it in reverse and... Anyway, not necessarily that. One day he was just backing it up the driveway and it ate the gear. That wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
You could hear him rattling in the bottom of the transmission too. So that was that story. So you had a Nissan Sentra, and what, how much you pay for it?
I think I paid $2,500 for it.
Really?
From a used car lot, yeah.
Oh, you got it from an actual used car lot.
Yeah, I sure did. It was a friend of the family, though, that owned the lot.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty much like Craigslist kind of.
Yeah. It was a really good deal. Car was in great shape.
Yeah.
Wrecked it pretty soon after I bought it.
Wait, you wrecked it?
Yeah.
What happened there? I don't remember this. I'm sure I will.
I ran into the back of a Mustang who was stopped. I just came up over a hill going like 40 miles an hour, and it was just heavy traffic on the other side. Didn't see it. Slammed on the brakes, skidded into the back of this Mustang.
Mm.
Didn't put a scratch on that Mustang. Totaled my car.
It ain't hard to total them when we pay $2,500, though, is it?
True.
Yeah, that's how I, you know, I know that's my game, though. I don't buy cars expensive. You know what I mean? No more.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah, we go head on and just buy them off Craigslist and keep moving. But, So tell me, though, is that the one that had the windshield problem?
It is the one that had the windshield problem. So
I need to hear this story.
One night, we had some crazy storm in Nashville. It was just, it was a weird kind of heat lightning type storm.
Yeah, weird cold front coming in.
Yeah, and my car was in the back of the driveway. I was still living with my parents at the time. And my mom went to get in the car to either go somewhere or just move it. And she shut the door as she got in, and the back windshield just shattered into like a million pieces all over my back seat.
I have never, bro.
She came in so apologetic and sorry, but it was like, how could that have happened? Oh, it made no sense. There was no cracks in the window, nothing. It just shattered. So we're assuming it had something to do with the weather. But... So I took
Maybe
it back.
So.
I took it back to the car lot where I bought it because this guy has a lot of little connections, guys who will do stuff for really cheap. And so this guy said he was going to put that back window in for me, insulation all, for like $50. I said that's a great deal. Do
yeah, it is.
He sat on it for a little while, lot longer than he should have, and I needed it one day to go somewhere that night, and so I called him, warned him I was coming, ended up getting out there. He had just put it on earlier that day.
Mm-hmm.
Said it should be fine, but he had some
tape on there.
That's
how they always do it.
Tape.
Yeah, when they put you a new windshield because they're waiting on the little goop to solid up.
Yeah.
Whatever that stuff is.
And so he just said, leave that on there. It'll be fine. But it's good to drive. So I'm on the interstate on the way, I'm on the way to work at this point because it's taken that long of the day. I'm having to go over to the Ryman and just driving along minding my own business, and I just start hearing this sound kind of all of a sudden, kind of this next thing I know, I looked in the rearview mirror and just saw my back window landing on the interstate right in front of a big old pickup truck. And about a minute later, that truck finally rolled up beside me and honked at me as if to tell me I was missing something.
Yeah. Like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear it.
So I had no idea. Sorry.
No, it definitely, you knew about it. That's comedy, bro. That's the kind of thing that only happens to you, though.
That's very true.
I promise you, stuff be happening to Ian, bro. So then you have to go back to the same guy and be like, can you put me in another windshield?
I sure did.
What did he say? What happened?
He did. He asked, well, did you drive with the windows down? I'm like, no, but should that really matter? I mean, I didn't know this job meant that I can never roll my windows down again, but...
Oh, my goodness, bro.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he just used Elmer's glue to put it on, but...
No. Bro, I remember you called me because I was at MTSU, I remember, and you said, Taylor, let me ask you a question. Does cold weather make your windshield brittle?
Yes.
And I was like, what kind of a question is that? And I was like, no, I don't know. Why are you asking me that? Because mine just shattered. I'm like, really?
Oh.
Well, buddy, I don't know about that.
Oh, and I've gone through many cars since.
Yeah, tell me about the $100 car.
Oh, yeah. So, still while I was working at the Ryman, which I only worked there 3 years, so that kind of tells you how many cars I can go through in 3 years. But I bought this this little Plymouth Neon from a from one of the stage managers for $100. He just knew I was looking for a car, and he was like, I'm fixing to get something else on a lease. Nobody will, I can't give this car away to anybody, but
really?
If you can give me $100, we'll call it even.
That's crazy, bro. So, title in hand and everything?
Yep. Now, when I bought it, I couldn't drive a stick shift yet.
Oh.
And that was a stick shift, so I had my dad come test it with me.
Oh, yeah.
And after the test drive, I asked him, so do you think this car is going to be reliable? And he said, it's about as reliable as $100 will get you.
Your dad, that is what he would say.
So
it's $100 reliable. It ain't like $1,000 reliable.
Right. So walked away with that car for $100 over the years. I had a timing belt snap, blew my engine.
No.
Had a radiator crack, had to replace that. And then the final piece that put that car in the dust was the water pump dying.
The water pump.
Which is, of course, like a $30 part. But about $1,000 to get to the part.
Was it really?
Yep. So, called it a quits on that car then.
Really? Well, daggone, man. That's crazy. That is so funny, though.
Yep. Then the last car I got while I was there was it was a Ford Focus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know that one. Yeah. I remember that one.
And that was a good car. I bought that one off this little old lady. Drove it pretty much just to the grocery store and back. So
didn't have a lot of miles on it.
No, it was like 15,000 miles, and it was 10 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was an amazing deal. But
that was a good car.
It was a great car until my dad tried to jumpstart his car with it.
No, what did he do?
He flipped the leads backwards.
Oh, man.
On one of the cars and blew my alternator, which wasn't the biggest deal. We got it replaced, and it worked fine for a while. But ever since that incident, I went through 4 more alternators.
So it was just like electrical problems.
Yeah.
After problem after problem after problem.
Something happened in there that we could never find, and it ultimately got rid of it to CarMax.
Really?
Traded it in there.
What kind of deal did they work for you?
It was pretty good. They gave me $2,500 for it.
Okay.
Which seems to kind of be that.
Yeah, that's your range. And then they put you in some $10,000 car, I bet.
Yep, something I'm still paying off, of course.
Oh, is this the one you're in now?
Yeah.
Okay, that's how you did that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bought a car off CarMax one time. I ain't never paying debt with a car again, ever. That was crazy, man. I wish I'd never done that. Although I did get a good car out of it, I still have it.
Right.
But, oh, brother.
Well, I'll tell you
this. Car notes are not good.
As bad as it is having a car note, the money that I was sinking into repairs on these cars that I could pay cash for, it ends up washing out pretty nicely.
Yeah, you were down real low. The sweet spot for cars is like $5,000.
Right.
Like if you can pay cash $5,000 for them, that's like, at least in my opinion, if you're going to get a little four-door car, you know, you get a little truck for $5,000 too and be straight.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I can do a lot of damage with $5,000 and not be having car problems very much, usually. So, but anyway,
Well, while we're on car stories, let's talk about your first van.
Ah, yes.
Let's talk about some of the fun stuff that went on with that one.
Well, the van in question is a 1996 Dodge Ram 1500 or 2500, one of those.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it might have been a 2500, but I don't remember. Green.
Mm-hmm.
With gray interior, and I think it was gray, and VCR and all, like kind of like that van we described last week on the show.
Yeah,
and I paid $4,000 cash for it, and it had 79,000 miles on it when we got it.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, that was a pretty good deal, and I knew we were going to put a lot of miles on it, whatever, and. Buddy, we did. And we really didn't have a lot. Like, when you first buy a car like that, you're going to have to discover the things that are wrong with it first.
Sure.
That's always how it is because everybody's working you a little bit when they're selling you a car, which sucks. But, you know, typically that's just the nature of the game.
Yeah.
But anyway, so with a fuel pump, okay, was going bad and we didn't know that. I was like, yeah, we got to fill it up about a quarter of a tank, you know. But we're coming back over an overnighter one day, and Ian was actually driving at the time. And I don't know if I was awake or not. I don't think anybody was awake.
Oh, I think you ended up waking up.
Oh, I did, because I heard going thump, 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 thump. And yep. I was like, that sounds like a foot hitting the floorboard. And I was like, Ian, what happened? He goes, I got no gas. I was like, what you mean you ain't got no gas? You let the gas run out? He goes, no, I'm pushing the gas pedal and I'm getting no gas. I said, okay. He said, yeah, there's about a little under a quarter of a tank in it. And I was like, oh, I forgot to tell you. We got to put more gas in it. But
so we coasted off the interstate and up to a pump.
Somehow we did.
I don't know how that worked out.
Right, but about daybreak, too. And I was coming back from Alabama somewhere. And then after that, Bruno got the fuel pump fixed. And it was a lot better off then. After that, we never had a problem with that again.
Well, that's good.
Then another time, you and me, we had to change, and my brother, we had to change out spark plugs. Remember that?
Yeah.
We were coming down in Virginia somewhere. I don't know what it started doing then.
It just started misfiring. Like
missing real bad. Yep. And so we're like, ooh, that ain't good.
Mm-mm.
So we went ahead and done that. And the craziest mechanical story with that van was when we were on the Out West run for the first time. And by then it was like ready to tap out. Like it was kind of, it was like over, I want to say it might have had 200,000 something miles on it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was, we had put some miles on this sucker. And coming up and down them mountains in Montana, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm driving. And meanwhile, the freaking light switch, that's the other thing. The light, the headlights wasn't working. So at night, you wouldn't think about it until you're nighttime. The headlights would come and go.
Oh.
So I'm coming through Kansas in the middle of the night, and the lights would just shut off. And I was like, oh, and it's like, you're in a pitch black, bro. And I'm like smacking a dashboard, and that's what was making it come back on. And so everybody be asleep in the back, and you just hear, bah, bah, bah. And that's me smacking a dashboard. I think Phoebe woke up one time. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I ain't got no headlights. I got to smack the dash. And so every morning I'd wake up and my hand would just be hurting. And I didn't know why, but I had a bruise on this palm of my hand right here from hitting the dashboard. And then the first time I would hit it the next night, I'm like, oh, that's what that is.
That's why.
But it was the weirdest thing. So we're going up and down the roads like that at night. And then we're coming up in Montana trying to make it to my cousin's place. And the overheating thing starts showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh boy, it's saying overheating. And we're going up and down. Snow on the top, not on the bottom. Snow on the top. This is November. And it seems like every time we're coming up, it's about ready to overheat. We pull over for a few minutes, let it cool off, put some water in it, keep going. And we just dumping bottles of water in that sucker.
Oh.
And we made it right up to the venue. And like the red light where you turn left to go in the venue, it just shuts down. We like coast up to the venue with the thing smoking. And like that's how we rolled into town.
Oh.
Played a show. The next day, Bruno had to like have an on-site mechanic come out there and fix whatever was going on. I think it was a water pump.
That makes sense.
But that wasn't that big of a deal, really. It looked like the whole thing was shot. But and then on that same run, like a couple nights before, something happened to, well, what happened? Something happened to either the van or the trailer. Oh, the trailer. Okay, we had to have new hub bearings put on the trailer. You have to do that fairly often with trailers.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, because they just will wobble themselves to death and you won't even know it. So, because you can't hear it. It's behind
right.
You know what I mean? Like in your car, you can hear when your bearings go bad. You start to get a hum, and then you get a grind and a rattle and a completely kaputsky after a while. So we have to like sleep at the venue in the van, me and Bruno do, across the street from the Target in downtown Seattle, like waiting for morning for the mechanic to come. Like we're sitting there, like all the trash people are coming and stuff. Like we were paranoid to death that the van was going to get towed with us in it. Because I think we were parked illegally. We couldn't move. What were we going to do?
You still have the trailer on it?
No, we had the trailer took off of it, but we had to stay near the trailer to like keep an eye out.
Right.
So we're like camping in a van. It was like one of the worst nights of sleep ever. I get up in the morning. I go to Target. I'm like, okay, I'll like kayfabe, go to the bathroom and brush my teeth and stuff without nobody knowing. Because I figure I'm not dressed like a homeless person, but like, you know, that's a pretty homeless activity.
Sure.
So I go in there. And there's like a line of homeless people trying to get to the sinks and bathroom. Like, seriously, I had to wait in line.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I'm clearly not the only person that has this idea. And the Target in Seattle is like right in the middle of downtown, kind of. It's different than any other Target I've ever been to. But while I was there, I was like, let me go ahead and update my iPhone so I can get on the same, get back on even here. Go from brushing my teeth in the dang Target bathroom to upgrading my phone. It was goofy, but I did that and made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an upgrade due at the time, so I went ahead and did it. But anyway, just goofy things like that. Car trouble, but you know, that van made it, and it made it all the way back here, made it to California, Seattle, all the way back down. And shortly after that, we bought that Sprinter and retired the other van, and it went off into the sunset on the back of a wrecker. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, we just scrapped it.
Okay.
I wish, you know, if I had, you know, everything in my way, but we had to take a lot of the stuff out of it to customize the Sprinter. So there wasn't much. The only thing that was left in it was like the front seat, the driver's seat. That was it. I don't even know if that was left in it, actually. But no, because the driver's seat for... No, the driver's seat was the only thing left in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you took out the TV, the radio, yep. All that stuff?
Everything, dude. Wasn't nothing left. It looked like pull apart. Just about. So that was the way that one ended. And some of y'all remember that van, but it was a great van. I have fond memories of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the best things I ever bought, I guess. And
one of the biggest memories I have of it, other than what you were talking about, was trying to sleep on that floor.
Yeah, get real hot.
Yes,
I know.
Like the engine was directly beneath you.
Yeah, you'd be down there, you'd be hot. But you could sleep on that thing, though. I mean, we made it work.
Yeah, we did.
Really had, I mean, you have to make it work at first, you know, and you're out here doing a band thing and out here on your own, you know, making it happen. So that's how that was. But really didn't have a ton of trouble out of that van, man. We were lucky.
Certainly, especially with all the miles you were putting on it.
Yeah, I mean, we had no idea, and it was so risky. But I remember when I first brought it back home, or I brought it home from where we got it, my dad was like, "You'll never make it in that thing." I promise you, he said that. And I was like, "Well, we're going to have to try." You know, that was still when he was kind of questioning my actions a little bit.
Well, sure.
But now he's on board with the band and everything. So...
So at one point, didn't Bruno try to paint it white?
No, he did paint it white. He painted two guys to paint it white because we were trying to deal with the heat. We were trying to reflect some heat.
That's right.
Because it was dark green and it was summer, and like we were trying to. That was our last ditch effort to
try to cool it down.
Yeah, it was not pretty afterwards.
No, it was not.
It looked like Cheech and Chong worthy after that.
It looked like they took a couple of rollers.
Yeah, it did. It looked like crap, but we only paid like $300 for it. For a crappy paint job, that's what it was.
And did it work?
Yeah, as far as I know, worked all right. But it didn't have the same character when it wasn't green anymore. Oh, we hit it. Oh, I got to tell you the deer story.
I don't know if I know this one.
Well, no, this is right after you got done with us. But, bro, 3:00 in the morning, is it Bluegrass Parkway in Kentucky? If you know where that is, it runs from 65 over to Lexington, where you jump on 64 eventually.
Okay.
So you go, it's about an 80-mile stretch. It's not that bad. But at 3:00 in the morning, it's pretty brutal. So 3:00 in the morning, we're going in shifts. We're driving up to, ironically now, like kind of near where my wife is from. But that was before I knew her. And so Huntington, West Virginia was kind of like our stopping point. We were going from Nashville to Huntington overnight, starting at like, I don't know, 9:00 or something. And so I think my brother takes the first 3 hours. I'm going to take the next three. And Joe is going to take, or maybe it's 2 hours, two and two. I'm going to take the next two, which is going to be the crappiest two because that's going to be one where everybody's asleep.
Right.
And then Joe is going to take the morning because he was with us for a little while. Just we were actually hauling them up to Cleveland.
Huh.
And so that was our end of destination. Yeah, it was awesome. So we took Joe and everybody's asleep in the van. You know, I think Bruno's over here in the shotgun seat. Joe and his wife are in the middle area, and Phoebe and Callie are in the bed in the back. So that was us, right? We were mob deep in this sucker. Bluegrass Parkway, just trucking. And so... Dadgummit, we're going along, and I'm like really sleepy. I'm kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, it's like 3:30 in the morning. And off in the distance, I see like what looks like a bunch of little dogs. And I'm like, oh no, those are not dogs. And like they're about 100 yards away and I see five of them. I had enough wherewithal to count. And I'm like, oh no, there's five deer. And the first one goes bloop, jumps across the road. I was, oh no, they don't have no sense. They don't hear me coming. The second one, bloop, jumps across the road. And I'm gaining on them, brother. Oh. So I ease over into the left-hand lane to try to avoid. They're on the right side.
Right.
Because I wasn't going to swerve or nothing. I was just going to just plow through them. So I never hit the brake. Got over in that lane to try to avoid. And about the time I was going to pass them, just smack, pow, like one of the loudest noises I've ever heard in a car.
Oh.
It just smacked the freaking the van so hard. And I thought it hit on like the headlight area. And I was like, dude, this van has got to be screwed after hitting that. I'm like, we're never going to make it, whatever. And I'm holding on to the wheel. Oh, I know what it was. As we were pulling up to the deer, I was like, shit. That's what I said. And then it was like, pow, right as I was saying. And so I don't know what everybody heard when they were asleep, but I got different accounts. And so I'm holding on to the van. I'm like halfway in shock because right. I've never done it. I'm like, I don't feel anything rumbling. I don't feel anything like not working anymore. I was like, okay, just keep trucking then. We'll just keep going then. I looked back. I couldn't see nothing. And it's dark out behind me. I couldn't see nothing anyway. And we ended up at a gas station. So we open up. Now, we're on the way, and I hear my brother. He opens up one eye. He's looking at me from the passenger seat. He goes, what'd we hit? And I'm just holding on. I'm like white knuckling the steering wheel.
Oh.
I go, deer. He goes, really? I was like, yeah, five of them. I looked around. Everybody rose up out of their bed like it was a thriller video. It was just like whoosh, the dead came to life. Everybody woke up at the exact same time upon impact, okay? The only one not saying anything is me because I'm in shock.
Wow.
And they're like, Taylor, what happened? And so we get out at the gas station, open the side door of the van, and I'm looking at the front headlight, and I'm going, there is no damage. What? I know I hit this deer. I know I did not dream this up. Everybody woke up and heard it. I hit a deer tonight. No, and they're like, are you sure you hit a deer? I'm like, yes, y'all heard that noise. I was like, that's what it was. We shut the side door, and there's like the panels all dented in the door.
On the side?
Because we had opened the door this way, you couldn't see it. We'd open it back, you know, towards itself. And then we get to looking. There's a massive dent, like not massive, but a good deer-sized dent in the side of our van. And there's deer poop and deer fur all over the back panel of the van as well. And I go, there it is. After we've shut it and found out where the damage was. And Bruno was able to like pop those dents out best he could or whatever. But man, so I was like, Joe, when did you wake up? He goes, I woke up on the swerve. He said, I felt the van swerving and woke up. And then bow. So it was like, it was crazy. I can
so live. You didn't hit a deer. A deer hit me.
Deer ran into the side of my vehicle.
Which is very much Gilmore Girls moment, by the way.
Okay, good. I remember seeing that on there. I remember hearing that girl saying that. But I moved over, and if I hadn't moved over, I believe it would have plowed him with the front.
Man.
And I just got...
Then you might have been done for real.
I might have broke the van for real then. But I learned that lesson, like, don't freaking slow down. Just hit them. I mean, they're going to be there. Just hit them.
Well, and now you had a big old van with a trailer, a lot of weight to plow through them.
Yep.
If you're in a little Ford Focus, don't hit them.
Well, try to get away. But my buddy that drives a truck said, try to hit them in a rear end because their natural instinct is to run forward. So if you hit them in the rear end, they're liable. If they do make a move to escape, they're going to go this way. So swerve for the back end of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then they'll move that way. So if they hear you last minute, move.
They're not going to back up.
No, they're not going to throw it in reverse.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but man, I tell you what, I don't ever want to see a deer. After a while, I was paranoid for a while about deer. And then even now, I'm still pretty like, I'm thinking about it. Because you don't believe you can hit one until you hit one. You know what I mean? You don't think it can happen to you.
Right.
But I hate them suckers. I don't like them. Then we were in Arizona just recently on that Sadie thing, and there was elk. Like,
scarier deer.
Like, bigger deer. Like, if you hit an elk, you're going to stop, and he's going to stand there, you know, probably. Like, but I had an RV on that one.
Oh.
But still, I was like, I ain't trying to hit no elk. I mean, jeez. It's like steroid deer. But anyway, that's that story. So I don't know if we had too many more mechanical stories after that. Most recently, me and Bruno had to change the... what was that? I guess it was an alternator on the Sprinter in Connecticut about a year ago right now, near my wedding anniversary. Yeah, it was a year ago. So I spent my wedding anniversary with Bruno and Kate changing the alternator out in Connecticut. So, but yeah, Bruno did most of it. I just kind of was the assistant. But it worked, man. You talking about celebrating. You celebrate when you're fixing a car and it starts.
Yes.
You celebrate. Like with that mirror, we were celebrating a little bit.
Fixing anything on a car and it working again, it's big cause for celebration.
It is. It's a worthwhile cause. So, yeah. I'm trying to think. What else? What other kind of stuff? Do we got any more?
I don't think I have any other car stories.
Yeah.
Necessarily. I'm sure I do. I just can't remember any.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we don't have no more car stories for a while.
Yeah. My bank account would appreciate that.
Yeah. No lie, bro. It's crazy out here. So... Well, I guess if that's all the end of the car stories, and I don't know if we have any more stories.
No, I think that might be a good place to call it.
Might be a good place to wrap up. Well, cool. If you made it this long, we appreciate it. I hope you got a few laughs out of our misfortune. If you can't laugh at your misfortune, then what are you going to do? I can tell the Uber guy tried to rob me last night's story.
He didn't try to rob me.
I just thought he might. But this guy, man, like these two guys... And it was real dark, and I was trying to get to City Winery. If you know where that is, it's downtown. And it's right next to the Homeless Mission, right on the other side of the projects. So it's kind of a sketchy area, nice area, in a sketchy area, basically. So whatever, I was trying to get to the City Winery. I took the wrong turn on accident, and I was behind it, and I was trying to loop around to get to the front of it. And these guys, like, waved me down, and I'm like, well, is that my rider? I couldn't tell, you know? And so I'm like trying to talk to the guy, but I ain't got no roll down windows. I got the crank windows in my car. So I had to let him open a door, which is crazy. But to hear what I was saying, he was like, how much is a ride? I was like, what does your phone say? Are you Cherish? And he goes, yeah, that's me. Lying. I could spell he was drunk or whatever. But I was in the back alley with these two guys, and they could have freaking robbed me right then and there. And finally, I looked at his phone. I didn't see no Uber, nothing. I called the... You can call your rider. And she happened to pick up. I said, where are you at? What's your location? And, City Winery. I was like, shut the door. I told the guy, please shut the door. I'm rolling out of here. Have a nice day. He shut the door and I left. I was like, ooh, Lord. You know, because I thought, man, I could have got robbed over that. They could have robbed me right then and there. They wouldn't have got much, but they still could have robbed me. So they could have took the car, could have took whatever they wanted. So, but it was kind of scary, but it wasn't too bad. I don't scare all that easy. But I ended up picking her up. She's like, was somebody in the car with you? I was like, no, this guy was trying to steal your ride. He was trying to ride somebody on your ticket.
Oh, man.
He lied about his name and stuff, which I knew he was lying. So I caught on to that much, but it was a trip, man.
I've got a couple of Uber stories.
Go ahead.
I was actually talking to another Uber driver at one point. We're all actually outside of this party near Vanderbilt University.
Yeah, of course.
And it's pretty late. We're both doing kind of the late shift thing. And he said the party he was at before this one, where he was picking somebody up, said he had a whole Suburban full of people. He had a big old Suburban. So he had seven people pile in his car to go to the next destination. And he said not one of them was the person who called the car. Just seven random people just get in.
Well, I'm charging them all the same.
Right. But you had an Uber story about a flat tire, right?
Oh, yeah. I caught a flat the other day. I was in East Nashville, and I picked a guy up, and it was like his first Uber ride ever. And, of course, I started hearing, I felt something funny in the wheel, and... It was on the rear end, so it wasn't like I could really feel it. I could tell something was wrong. I heard some noises, and I was like, oh boy, let me pull over. I think I might have a flat. And I sure enough did have a flat. So I had to whip it over into a some kind of parking lot on James Robertson and just change my tire. Thank goodness I had, you know, some equipment there.
So what'd the rider do?
He's like, well, what do I do now? And I was like, just call another rider. I'll kill this one and you call another one. And just tell them where your location is. They were cool, man. They were hilarious. It was like in the middle of the day, so it wasn't near as bad as, you know, the nighttime deal. But, yeah, so right then and there, like, those tires were almost done anyway on that car. Mm-hmm. And I'd had them for a long time, and it was time for them to go. I was just trying to get the last, you know, extra few miles out of them. You know when you start sliding around, it's time to get new tires. Yes. Sliding around when it rains, you know?
Well, when you're sliding around when it's dry, it's definitely
time. Yeah, I wasn't sliding when I was dry yet. But I was definitely sliding when it was raining. Mm. And I was like, oh, Lord. That's usually my tell with tires. If you, if you're worried about the tread, the sliding around is definitely a dead giveaway. So that was that. Got some new tires. Now, buddy, I'm locked in. I'm Velcro to the ground again. So these are good tires, too. Ride smooth as a whistle.
Awesome.
Yeah, makes a difference. So, but yeah, I had to put the donut on there and drive back home, which sucks because I wasn't making money anymore. I had to go hightail it back. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to buy some new tires, I guess. You know? So I ended up spending way more than I was going to make that week.
Right.
On the freaking tires.
But you got to do what you got to do.
Yep. You do. It's crazy, man. You do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But
I had a good set of passengers, another near Vanderbilt party type story. I had this couple get in, great people. They were having a great time. They made it fun for me too, but they wouldn't give me an address. They just said, we'll just tell you where to go.
I hate that.
Which generally I'm fine with. If you're going to be attentive and such, then I'm perfectly okay with that. But they weren't. Mm. And so they told me, just go down the street. We'll tell you when to turn left. And so, of course, they live somewhere on campus, but I got to the other side of campus and asked, was I supposed to turn left yet? They're like, oh, yeah, that was way back there. Oh, just turn around. We'll tell you when to turn again. So turn around, got to the other side of campus. Same thing.
It's their money.
Yep.
It is really their money.
But made for a fun time anyway.
That's the way I look at it. Hey, if you're going to be tripping about where we're going, then hey, it's on your dime.
I'm not sure they could have typed in the address in their state, but
I don't like dealing with the drunks, man. That's not my thing. I try to work during the day. But, you know, hey, call it a day. Well, I'm pretty happy with the day, man.
Yeah.
Got a mirror and a glove box. And, you know, we'll fix another couple little small things. And we'll be sitting in, we'll be farting through silk, as they say. Yep. Farting through silk pajamas.
Wow.
I heard that on another podcast.
I've never heard that one before.
I rip off everything, man. It's bad. All right. Well, I guess this is 43 minutes of foolishness here with me and Ian. I hope you guys are liking us, just kicking our stories back and forth. They actually happen. They're all, you know, 95% truthful. As they say. No, they're 100% true. All these stories actually happened. Didn't have to fluff them up or nothing.
Nope.
So, appreciate y'all listening and supporting. Man, if you like the podcast, let us know about it. Send me a little DM or a message or something and tell me what I can be doing better or worse or what have you. So,
if you have any suggestions for the podcast, please mail them to Taylor on a cassette tape.
Yeah, audio, so I can put it in my truck that has a cassette player and have something to listen to in there. Awesome. Well, y'all be good. We'll see y'all next week.